to my house. I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house. I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Frank Onstein. Frank is the owner of the Blue Lake Winery, a very small winery in Blue Lake, California. Now, Frank, I've heard you were described by Gisela Rohde, a friend of mine, and she said, well, he's kind of hard to pigeonhole because he's like one of those typical Humboldt County guys, because you have so many different interests and so many different, you know, things that you've done in your background. And she said you were the lead mechanic for Simpson Timber after graduating from HSU.
That's correct.
Now, how did a lead mechanic end up making wine? How does that happen?
Well, I think first comes the love of wine,
uh-huh.
And I like it a lot. And about the time I retired, I decided I'd like to try my hand at making wine. And I fixed up the back room in my house, a utility room, and took a course, an Ollie course, Osher Lifelong Learning, on sort of the basics of winemaking. And it was taught by Don and Sharon, the owners of Moonstone Crossing Winery. And it was a really fun class, very informative. They walked us through the crushing of the grapes, the pressing of the wine off the skins, the punching down of the must in the primary fermentation. So all the basic things. And then, we had a big potluck and wine pairing with our wine. They sort of lined me out on, this is the material, the equipment you're going to need before you get grapes, and gave me some ideas of where to call to find people that had grapes for sale.
Uh-huh. And where do you buy those beginning pieces of equipment that you needed?
There's a company called The Beverage People in Santa Rosa that sell fermentation supplies and equipment. That's where I get most of my stuff. Or sometimes you'll find a hobbyist who wants to expand and sell their old hobby gear.
Uh-huh.
Just keep an eye on Craigslist for that, or ask around.
So you knew you liked wine, and then you you took this course, so you kind of learned some of the basics of it.
Yes.
And then you just jumped right in and built a room that would hold all the equipment that you needed.
That's correct. I went down to Santa Rosa with my pickup truck, and I got a crusher and a press and a hygrometer, of course, you have to have, and a lot of other things just to get started.
Now, how did you find somebody to sell you enough grapes to make your first batch of wine?
A friend gave me the number of a guy with a vineyard in Kelseyville. He grows in grapes. His name's Geronimo Rico, and I've been buying grapes from him for 5 years now. His grapes just make super wine, very good Zin. And Zin's my favorite wine anyway, so.
Is that a type of grape that you would enjoy right off the vine, or is it like one of those things that's good for wine but not good for eating?
I think they're delicious, and when we crush them, the people helping, I tell them, bring a jar and take some of this stuff home, and you can make jelly out of it. When we press the juice off, it's just really good. Put it in the refrigerator and enjoy it.
Uh-huh. Oh, that sounds good. Now, how many bottles of wine do you make a year?
Typically, the unit is the barrel, which is about 55 gallons, 60 gallons, typical oak barrels. So to make a barrel of wine, you need 1,000 pounds of grapes.
Wow.
So you're making enough to fill that barrel plus some extra. Because wine sort of evaporates through the staves as it ages in the cellar, and you have to keep topping it off. You don't want to have a big airspace on top of the wine. The wine that goes away is called the angel share. So you have to...
Gotta give the angel a glass or two.
Okay. Exactly.
And now the reason that you don't have a lot of air in the top of your barrel, I imagine, is because you don't want to end up with a situation where it might actually turn to vinegar.
Well, it will oxidize, yes. The oxygen will attack the wine and actually destroy it if that goes too far. But I've always made sulfided wine. Some people don't do that. They prefer unsulfided, but I've had better luck adding sulfites, and that helps protect the wine also.
Okay. And you make a Zinfandel wine. Is that the only type of wine you've experimented with, or is that just the one that you've ended up with your favorite?
It's my favorite, but I've also made Merlot, made a batch of Chardonnay a couple years ago, and I'd like to do white wine again next season if I can find somebody that has some grapes to sell.
Uh-huh. Can you make a white Zinfandel?
Yes, you can. You just press the wine off the skins right away, like in one day.
Okay, and then the skins is what actually colors the wine.
Right, they color it, and they also give it flavor.
And what is the process of winemaking, kind of from beginning to end, in a kind of Reader's Digest condensed version?
Okay, well, first thing, you find out who's got grapes. Uh-huh. And you tell he or she, give me, you know, a few days heads up. Now, this is the hard part about making wine. You can't really plan much of a trip or anything in the fall because you don't know exactly when the grapes are going to be ready. So finally, the call comes. You pack up all your stuff, head down to wherever this person has the grapes, and you want to be in the field at dawn, at first light, when the grapes are cold. You're usually expected to help the crew pick the grapes, too. So you get your truck or trailer loaded up. It's this big tub heaping up. That's considered, it's about a 4x4 tub that's 2 feet deep. And so then you tarp it up and you take off and you drive as fast as you can,
through the
watching
heat.
For the highway patrol, because you want to get back to the coast where it's cool before the grapes get hot. And then the next morning, without fail, you better be ready to go. Because once you got the grapes there, you can't la-di-da around. You've got to get them crushed and going.
Uh-huh. And this is just you doing it. You don't have any helpers, do you?
Well, yeah, it's better to rope in a few friends or neighbors for the crush. It goes a lot easier if you have 3 or 4 people.
Okay.
Especially if you're doing more than one batch of grapes.
I'm imagining now, how do you get them from your trailer into your crusher?
Well, I back into the backyard. I have alley access, so I can back right up to the crusher. It's sort of under an awning off the back porch. It's all set up for that.
Okay. Do you have to shovel them in?
Well, yeah, with a 5-gallon bucket.
You a 5-gallon bucket,
them
okay.
In, and then they go from there into a big primary fermentation container. And I use some of those big blue barrels. They're food-grade plastic olive barrels. That's where the grapes stay, olive barrels. Once the fermentation starts, you're adding the yeast and all this stuff and all the other secret ingredients, and then it'll really come alive. It will foam up and get a hard cap on the top, which is skins, opposed to the skins. And you take a tool called a must punch, which is a big square with a piece of plastic with a rod on the end, and twice a day you have to punch that down. It's about the consistency of styrofoam.
Oh.
And it's this stuff's bubbling and just going crazy and pumping out huge amounts of CO2. If you can't be there, of course, you got to have a reliable neighbor or somebody come over and do it. That's got to be done. And then when the fermentation process starts to slow down, and then you want to press the skins off the wine. At that point, you go from what's called must to new wine. And then you seal this pressed wine, this new wine, up in an airtight container with a device called a fermentation lock, which lets the remaining CO2 go out, but oxygen can't come back in. You've got to keep oxygen away from it at this point to protect it. After that's gone on and pretty much done, you rack it into a oak barrel. And then it sits for a year or so, and Mother Nature works her magic on it, and it becomes delicious wine.
It's a long time to find out if you did a good job.
Well, you get a pretty good indication early on.
Oh, okay.
New wine will have a funky new wine taste, which are kind of odd, but you can tell after a while that...
That's going to turn into something really good.
Okay. Yeah. I should have brought a sample of this last batch. I've got one that's really dynamite going now.
Oh, I can't wait to try it. I think I'll have to.
So then when you're satisfied that the wine is ready for bottling, get a big crew together and run it through a bottling machine. It takes about 8 people to do that, but that's a really fun social thing.
Uh-huh.
And you have food for the workers, and I pay them with wine when we're done.
Oh,
get
nice.
The labels on, so everything's done nice. At that point.
Okay. And do you have wine with your meal? I'm imagining you get some of this really fresh wine.
Oh, yeah. We just drag out everything we got and uh-huh. let people try it.
Uh-huh. That sounds good. Where can people find that wine if they wanted to get a bottle? Or do they have to be your closest friend?
I'm not a bonded winemaker. I'm a hobbyist. I can't sell my wine, but it gets out to the public numerous ways. The Breast Health Project had some bottles they were selling, and my neighbor, I'm going to give her some to sell. She's doing the AIDS bicycle tour this year, and she needs to raise money to,
So you're big at donating
right.
in the community.
Yes.
Great. Well, I would love to try your wine. But
well, I'm sure there'll be an opportunity soon.
I hope so. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've had the pleasure of talking with Frank Onstein, and he is the winemaker at Blue Lake Winery, his very own winery. Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Grapes and the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.